What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Troy?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody.
This is the Smiley Show.
And we're rolling.
and we're off. We're off. We're diving right into the show. That's how we're opening the show. We are off. We got a lot of buzz, a lot of energy around here. We got all the boys back together. We got Brian and Jax. Might even have Jax join us via producer cam for the first time on the show tonight. And the reason we're buzzing is because the first round of the first major of 2026 is officially in the books at Augusta National. And it was a spicy day out there, Smiley, to get it going at the Masters. And we got a lot. I think that is, for me, that's where the storyline begins. And you were calling all the Amen corner action all day today for Amazon Prime, for all the digital coverage. And one of the greens of particular focus was 13. So shall we just dive in there with what you saw on the course? It was spicy out there.
Yeah, I didn't realize they needed some sriracha sauce that we just watch you devour with your Chick-fil-A, but it was all over the golf course. It really was. And it's exciting, you know, seeing this on a Thursday constantly. I kept thinking it's just a Thursday.
Yes.
I kept replaying in my mind about not only the shots I was watching on Amen Corner, but all of the shots that I was seeing throughout the golf course and late in the evening. This place already feels like it's weekend ready. And leading up to Thursday, you were thinking that, gosh, I've heard a lot of players talk about it being a little soft, even though there hadn't been any rain. But like I said, this golf course and what Augusta National can do, they can flip a switch overnight. And today we got to experience it. And I think the wind played a major factor, you know, lower humidity, which I'm sure you can maybe speak to, you know, what it was like out there from a temperature standpoint.
It's dry.
Pit sweat, not an issue for any of the fellas out there.
Oh, that's you know what? I hadn't even put two and two together there, but that is a great, I felt like relative to the temperature and the clothing I was wearing, I sweat a lot less than I'm used to.
Well,
so how about that? Low humidity.
It's great to hear.
Are we a science pod? Are we a science pod now?
Yes.
It might be a science pod.
Chap lips are an issue, though.
Chap lips are an issue. That comes into play when it's dry.
Bring your chapstick if you're going to Augusta National.
Let me tell you, because everything you're saying, many players agree with that. Shane Lowry in particular said it was amazing the change in the course from when he walked off yesterday at noon to when he teed up today around, you know, mid-morning, 10 o'clock. Jason Day called the difference dramatic. There are three particular quotes that I want to read. Shane Lowry says, "I think this could be the toughest Masters we've played in a while. It's going to get very, very crusty around here." Patrick Reed said, "You could tell when you're walking on it and trying to fix a ball mark. I actually broke one tee on the hole trying to fix a ball mark."
That's
you already
awesome.
Know it's going to get crusty. And then Jason Day said, "If you look down the first fairway, you start seeing the purple change. That's when you know, when you start seeing that tinge of purple, when it's starting to get firm and fast." So, I mean, these guys are preparing. And, I, you know, more reflections on that. But, I mean, I've got some quotes as well from Rory and Xander and Jason on how they think it's going to play going into the weekend and you know, the scoring we could see.
No, I think it's – to me, it really favors the long players that are accurate off the tee. Because they're going to be able to get that extra bit of run out. When it's a soft Augusta National and let's say the golf ball isn't bouncing when it lands in the fairway, it kind of negates – the players that have that extra bit of speed when the ball lands on the ground. And now with firm fairways, you know, I'm just not accustomed to seeing golf balls get down past the bunker at two on a Thursday. to me, that's just something that like we start to see as the weekend mm-hmm. gets here. But mm-hmm. today you're seeing golf balls fly down the hill, and then 15, you're going to be seeing irons into that green all week. Where last year, I remember watching players trying to get 3-wood onto the green because the wind back into them and it just being a little bit softer. So that my initial instinct is that the player, like for instance, a Scottie Scheffler who drove the ball magnificent today, if you're able to piece together round after round with a good driver and then throw in players that can hit it very high mm-hmm. with their irons and have control, because these areas that are already small to be able to fit it in your golf ball, they're going to just keep on getting even more tiny.
I think Patrick Reed, I believe, uses 7-wood today on his approach of 15, bounced it on the green, rolled all the way off and back into the water behind 15. It's some interesting stats from Data Golf, particular to 13 and 15. It was a 4.81 scoring average for 13 and 5.12 for 15, which is exactly a half stroke more difficult than a typical 550-yard hole on tour. It was interesting on 15. We talked about this. John Rahm answered a question about this in his press conference about, you know, that short mm-hmm. wedge being one of the more underrated difficult shots at Augusta National. Of the 29 post layup wedges on that hole, 3 wound up wet, but only 12 found the green, with the remaining 14 going long. And those shots on average lost 0.44 strokes relative to their baseline.
Is this 15?
This is 15. Okay. So like this is, you know, and the editorial additive here from Miles at Data Golf is, I don't think the most difficult wedge shot in golf is an exaggeration. So I mean, both of those today, it's like, and those are your opportunities to score, right? For the most part, the par fives, you got to take advantage of those. And it felt like that flipped in a lot of ways today.
It's the most difficult iron or wedge shot in the world. At 15.
You're elevation on a down slope. Changes. Just, I mean,
that when you're playing off a down slope, the golf ball's naturally going to launch lower. And when you have to land the golf ball on the green that is just cut over water, and it's a shallow green as it is, and it's coming in at a lower trajectory, that first bounce, you just can't control it. And that we saw it today on 13 as well. And just to add a little bit of context to the hole location they use today at 13. They use a front left hole location, mm-hmm. which they didn't use last year, but they did use the prior 5 years. And the scoring average from this front left hole location over the last 5 years was averaging anywhere between 4.5 and about 4.71. But today, the scoring average, like you said, was 4.81, playing mm-hmm. the most difficult it has. 31% of players went for the green today. And, you know, 85% of the players hit the fairway. And when we talk about 13 and what they've done to this hole and how they've moved the tee box, having more players at driver, but what it's done, it's allowed more players to hit the fairway to give them the opportunity to either go for the green or make a decision on a strategic layup. And I think the one thing that players never adjusted to today at 13 is the firmness of the greens. When you lay up further down and to the right, what you're doing, you're creating more room and a better angle to get to that front left hole location. That is what most people would do for that hole location. But I made the argument heading into today. I was like, well, you know, it's not the end of the world if you lay up down and to the left or give yourself a fuller wedge shot just to try to control the spin a little bit. Now, you don't have quite as much room playing from the left side of the fairway at 13. But what you do have is you have a little right to left slope to help you spin it right to left and maybe get it to, you know, 8 to 10 feet, which is, after what we saw today with so many wedge shots that would just basically one bounce over the green. All in all, I mean, that you would take that. And I'm sure there's plenty of players that would take that. And the best wedge shots that we did see were either from 100 yards plus or from the mm-hmm. left side, and none better than Shane Lowry, who holed out at the 13th hole today and it picked up 2.06 strokes gained approach just off that one shot.
Jason Day said, as part of that same post-round quick quotes, they want single digits to win. It'll be baked out and fast, and guys will be kind of spewing on themselves out there, which is a quote I love to hear. We were walking past one as soon as that final group went through, and they had someone out there testing the firmness of the green with like a USGA device. What do you expect from Augusta National? I mean, do you think these greens get watered? Because it does feel like that also plays in a conversation we were having earlier about which wave you'd rather be in, where it looks like the guys that went out early today might have gotten the softest version of this course. You can't imagine, unless they water a ton, it's going to get appreciably softer before the early wave goes off on Friday, correct?
Well, I think typically when it gets a little warmer on the weekend, when we're in the mid-80s and it's a south wind – typically that would make a golf course, especially with less wind, make it play a little bit less fast, as maybe a day where you get up to 15, 20 mile an hour gusts out of the north with lower humidity. That's just typically my understanding of how grass works. But if it's already, but here's the thing, if it's already gets, if they already push it to a point by the weekend where they've already got it firm and fast, then gosh, if the protection of the golf course is just going to be how firm they could possibly get it, well, with no wind, I'm okay with that, right?
Agreed. Well, it was, golly, was that 2 years ago where it was maybe the Friday round that got really windy and really crispy? And
which they're so good at looking at the forecast and just knowing when they can push and when they can play defense. And right now, I think they pushed it on Thursday. And I thought they might back off a little bit with it being the most difficult day as far as the wind goes. But they chose to use many of what I felt like to be some of the tougher hole locations today. That was one thing that I believe surprised me heading into Thursday's round. I thought we were going to see a lot more easier hole locations, but we did not get that.
Well, and I think that, I mean, Rory had a quote as part of this. It said, you know, he said, as you guys know, I've said for the last few years, I've started to really, really relish this type of golf. I really want to excel at this type of golf. I think a lot of guys that are in that mindset that are going to embrace the conditions, that want to put on crispy greens, that want this to be a true major test, those are the guys we're going to see near the top of the leaderboard when this thing finishes. And let's talk specifically about Rory. Because I got some stats here from Justin Ray, the stat goat at Justin Ray Golf on X. Rory McIlroy will be the seventh defending Masters champion to lead or co-lead after round one. One of the previous six, Jack Nicklaus in 1966, went on to win the tournament. And Masters champions, 18 of the last 20 were in the top 10 after the first round. So, and ironically enough, one of the ones who was not was Rory McIlroy last year, and he went on to win the thing. So
he had a great Friday round, though.
I think it was a bogey-free 66. So of what you saw from Rory today, understand that the beginning of the day, you know, you were working aiming corner coverage.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
What did you see from him that made you confident about his chances to do it back-to-back?
Well, it's his best first round he's ever had at Augusta National, 500 round par. You know, so often he's come into this week and I think he's played tight in round ones here at Augusta National. And it's funny when you get the green jacket, how it's like, whatever, you know, it's just, he looked comfortable out there. He's been comfortable all week, just listening to him talk about his, you know, just all of his duties that he had. He got in here on Sunday, drive, chip and putt, played with his dad, Jerry, on Sunday, but also having the champions dinner and being the host for that. And of course, taking his daughter Poppy out on the par three in the afternoon.
Did you see the thing on Poppy where she requested that specifically he bring her putter this year? She didn't want to putt with her dad's putter. She wanted her own putter for the par three this year.
It's I didn't really know exactly what we were going to see from Rory today.
Totally.
And this was definitely in the simulations. Like, this was a possibility. Yeah. But I also was in much more of the wait and see with Rory to see kind of where his game was from a sharpness standpoint. I'd mentioned with Scotty and Rory, the thing I was worried about the most is just the touch and feel around the greens. And clearly both guys chipped in incredible today. A couple interesting notes with Rory McIlroy that I found from today is that only two players hit less fairways than Rory today. So that's one thing we're going to have to monitor. Clearly he played in just enough right spots to where maybe it was just off the fairway. Of course, I didn't get to see the entire round, but thought that stat to be pretty interesting, hitting just 35% of his fairways. And this is actually his second best approach round since they started recording Schertz Gain data today. So I also thought that was interesting. And then also just with Rory, And overall, how he's able to maneuver around this golf course, it just seems stress-free to me today. And I think that's the only other thing to note, other than he didn't hit enough fairways, but it seemed like the stress wasn't there.
I from what I saw, agreed. I mean, I think there was a lot of, you know, even the second hole, he gets out of position in the trees, manages to you know, rescue. I actually have to go back and look, but I believe he made four from there, which is, yeah, he did. And so I think that for him today, I agree on the stress-free nature of it. And, you know, when we talked about this earlier in the week, we were wondering, is it just going to be a lot of responsibilities for Rory this week? And, yeah, and is that going to just be occupying the forefront of his mind? And even though it was, and he had to do all those things, I think that the freedom of having completed it, completed the Grand Slam at this point, frees him up in a huge way. Gary Williams asked him a question in the press conference on Tuesday about, which one now do you think you have the best chance at winning multiples of now that this is complete? And he said, I think this one right here. And we've always said that Augusta National suits Rory's game, you know, guy that can drive it long, work it right to left. But it was more so just the mental side and some of the scar tissue from things, sure, like 2011 that held him back. But golly,
it's playing free, man.
Playing free at a place where something. He can just pick off a number of these now, even at, you know, in late 30s.
It's kind of the opposite of let's say like a Kobe Bryant. It's like job finished? No, job ain't finished. Rory's not really that way, and I think opposite of like a Brooks Koepka. Coming into this major week, he was proud to be the Masters champion. And mm-hmm. I think he's proud of his legacy as being a Grand Slam winner as it is. And if he doesn't win another major, I don't think it's going to bother him. If he doesn't win another golf tournament, I don't think it's going to bother Rory. I feel like he's hit his lifetime achievement, and everything past this is just gravy.
While still having confidence. Like, I think that was the one thing that was interesting in the documentary. It's like, you still have to have a self-assuredness or a belief in yourself that you're, you know, there was that early interview where it's like, it's not believing you can win. It's knowing you're going to win. Yeah. And I still think he's wired to some degree in that way, but I completely agree with there being a level of humanness of Rory. You see in the way he answers questions with the press where there isn't like that Kobe gear. Yeah. Right? There isn't like that, you know, I'm going to stop on it. Job finish. I want to, so we can go a couple different ways here. Like, I think we need to talk about Sam Burns as well.
Yeah.
Best Masters round of all time. And then there are a few near the top of the board. Patrick Reed played great today, but I'm curious too about guys that surprised you in playing poorly. You know, just guys we really thought were going to have a great Masters. Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, even like Ludvig Oberg going out and shooting a two over round. You know, those guys were really, it's not to say they couldn't go out and fire a low round tomorrow, but you know, who were you impressed by maybe starting with Sam Burns, and who do we need to see something a little more from on Friday?
Well, I think Sam Burns, he hasn't had great success at the Masters. His best finish in four other starts is a T29. He's made the cut all the years, but for the most part, hasn't been a part of any of the storylines. It's the first time that he's, been in contention right from the get-go, shooting a five under par round. And Burnsy had his best approach numbers he's ever had here. He gained over 3 shots approach, which I think has been a bit of a bugaboo for him at these big venues. The approach numbers have always kind of dipped down. He's had to heavily rely on his putter too much. If you get Sam Burns on the green as much as everybody else, watch out.
Like, great driver of the golf ball. Like, if he's ironing it well, I mean, he hoops, right? So this could be a great omen for him to start the week.
Yes, totally. He can be a big game player. We just haven't seen him play well enough in the majors outside of, let's say, the U.S. Open last year, where was very close, obviously, to get it done on that venue. So who's to say Sam won't hang around all week?
And then from those other guys, I mean, again, you were watching, you were focused on Amon Corner, but what can you tell either statistically through coverage or otherwise about the things that held back John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Ludvig Åberg today?
Well, Ludvig Åberg, interesting enough, he actually was one of the best iron players, but his issues were around the green at the 13th. He got over that green, and for the most part, everybody was taking out putter from that low area. He tried to pitch it, and it was just a miscalculation of what that shot called for. It wasn't one in which you're trying to necessarily get close. I think this was Arnold Palmer who said this, your worst putt is always better than your worst chip. And it doesn't, it rings so true to Augusta National because he chips the ball in the water, ends up walking off with a big score. And he had gotten off to a good start too. So I do think Ludvig is due for a big bounce back round. I think Cameron Young is due for a good bounce back round. He, I think, forgot how to play golf for the first nine holes. And then after the next nine holes, so we see Scotty Scheffler getting work done. Cameron Young looked awesome on the back nine. I think he's going to have a very, very good Friday. I think he could really vault up the leaderboard. He's the one player that I would say, maybe this is just selfish of me because I picked him in one and done, but I see Cam Young making the biggest jump tomorrow to get himself back into contention. Mm-hmm. But we go down the board, Bryson DeChambeau. The one thing that I'll speak on with him is how we noted his around the green and chipping was so good last year. He was second best. Tommy Fleetwood was first last year. And he was actually second in that category after his front nine with all the players that were on the course at the time and that had finished. But as we got to the back nine, he fell apart all around the greens. And it started at the 11th hole.
That bunker.
Where he got in the bunker. It was it was a somewhat difficult shot. But he just kind of lost concentration, worried about maybe hitting it long. I'm not really sure, but there's a level of fear that you have at Augusta National you make sure that you don't go too far and end up in the water. So you're always kind of guarding against something. And I think that is what we're going to witness throughout the rest of this week is who isn't scared. Like, where's the level of fear factor with some of these players? And Bryson definitely, whether it was just losing concentration, bad technique, whatever you want to say happened, it can derail a championship. And at plus four now, it'd be hard for me to see that he comes back and contends in this. John Rahm, I mean, what is there to say? I mean, it's been 2 years in a row now that where something has been just terribly off in his game at the Masters. This year being the putter, a couple years ago was the putter. Also, the iron game has given him fits over the last 3 years. And again, it's just 3 years in a row off to just very, very slow starts. I want to see what he has shot here over the last 3 years. Let's see. So we got round one. He has not shot under par since 2023, where he opened with a 7 under par round. Shot 1 over 2024, shot 3 over last year, 6 over this year. And gosh, you look at his statistics all the way before that, it's just positive all the way through. But he's just off, man. And it kind of goes back to the initial discussion we had on the show is, are these golf courses preparing them for some of the most difficult tests that we have in golf? And Augusta National is that.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Oh, 100%. And you think about where, you know, the PGA Tour has just been with a stretch of courses between PGA National, Bay Hill, TPC Sawgrass, you know, Innisbrook, you know, where that's getting you ready. And then, of course, in Texas and too, I mean, I'm more so focused on that Florida swing where a lot of these guys played, because you can compare. You can say, well, wait a second, Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy hadn't really played since the Players. You know, that's roughly equivalent to the amount of time the live guys have had off. And so then the comparison becomes quality of golf course. And that set of golf courses is going to do a much better job preparing you for Augusta National than, you know, the ones on live. That's just how it is.
100%. So,
now we're going to introduce a new segment of sorts here. We're going to bring in producer Cam Jackson Brown, the man. First of all, let's start with over under. How many Jackson Brown musician jokes do you think Jax has gotten in the press building at Augusta National this week?
Over five.
Oh yeah. Way over five. What do we think?
I think I'm at six or seven. That was the perfect number.
Yeah, oh, great. And then you also have the duplicates, the follow ups. The guys that saw them, they want to really call the joke back.
Yeah, so, yeah. Give them an inch and they take it a mile.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's 100%. 100%. So Jackson, you put a little call out of social media to the audience out there, and we got some audience questions. So where are we beginning?
Yeah, just got a couple for you. Two of them. First one's coming from Caleb M. Connor _ on Instagram. What's more interesting, Rory going 5 under with 0 fairways hit on the front nine, or John Rahm going 6 over with no birdies all day? More surprising?
I think Rahm, man.
Yeah,
that's it was very, very surprising to me.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that Rory, is such a long driver of the ball that, like, if he's missing fairways, you'd still expect him in the positions he's in to be able to score. Whereas I think that, and this is going a little bit against the point we just made, but no matter where you're playing golf, he's playing really good golf and he's competing against fields that are, you know, of some degree of strength when you have Bryson and them, a number of the good LIV players who competed all year long. So I just did not, I mean, that was one of the guys we talked about that felt like, is he, and is Bryson in better form than Scotty and Rory? And it was a real conversation. So this is pretty stunning.
Absolutely. Question number two from Nick Byrne _1.5. How do players adjust for the firmness of the course as they go on par fives?
On par fives. Well, a lot of players play off of past experience. And I think today at 13, players and caddies didn't necessarily make that adjustment of what that firmness was, because they weren't expecting some of the big bounces. Like 15, you kind of expected a little bit. 13's never played quite that firm. So that was a bit of a shock. Two, there's nothing really about two. You always try to play out to the right for the most part. Eight, it's all pin dependent on where you leave it. Mm-hmm. But 13 and 15, if you have to lay up, the strategy of where to lay up, there isn't a right answer. And I think laying up left on 13 and 15 is the only right answer right now, because you're hitting a little bit more up the hill to try to get the ball to slow down. That's all I got for you.
That was interesting too, because, like, you saw in that group with Scotty and Woodland going over 15, and then McIntyre leaves it short and spins it back in the water. I mean, there's no right answer.
That chip from over 15 might be the most intimidating pitch shot in all of golf.
Yeah.
And it's and you look at it, you go stand back there, and you're like, ah, you know, it's not all that bad.
It's doable.
You try putting your wedge down behind that golf ball.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I got one more for you, Charlie.
Okay, what do you got?
One more question here just came in.
Hot off the press.
This is from our guy, George Goggins, who was nice enough to send over some stats for the preview show.
All right.
We talked about Cam Young. Are there any other guys outside of the red that you like to make a great second round tomorrow?
All right, Cam Young. Let's see. I think Jake Knapp and Fitzy.
Jake Knapp for sure.
And Ludwig. Those are the guys. Yeah.
Cool.
Those are my guys.
I was going to say Knapp as well. I'm looking down here. I think Knapp. I mean, I think I think there's an outside chance that Bryson gets it together. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on where the cut line ends up. Because, like, right now, T48 is at 3 over. So Bryson's really only effectively a shot outside of the cut right
now. That's right. And I think back to his Thursday performance at the Open.
Exactly
last,
right.
Last summer.
Exactly right. Yeah. Like, just, and then would have won went on a tear the next three rounds.
So, nice callback, Jax.
Yeah.
There he is.
That's why he's our producer extraordinaire. That was a good little debut of that segment.
Nice callback.
Maybe when we're live streaming,
Job ain't finished.
Yeah. That's right. Job ain't finished. Never finished.
Here's where I want to close, Smiley, unless you have a few other things. I got some quotes from some first timers. Some great quotes from some first timers. You got Ryan Gerard and Mason Howell.
Before we get there, I just want to touch up one couple things on Scotty.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we'll let you take us out with that.
That's right. We didn't even talk about Scotty Scheffler.
You want to get there?
Let's get there. Let's go there. Permission to go there is granted.
Well, Scotty Scheffler hit 85% of his fairways today. I kind of mentioned this right off the top here, but it's the fifth straight year he's inside the top 10 after round one. And we know how important that is. 18 out of the last 20 have been inside the top 10. So Scotty, just right on cue, is exactly where he wants to be. Mm-hmm. A perfect start for him of sorts. But the only thing I'll mention, a little bit opposite of Rory, how he only two guys hit less fairways than he did. With Scotty Scheffler, his off the tee strokes gain numbers, it was the best driving round Scotty's ever had at Augusta National. So he had gained over two strokes today. And to me, when I go back and look at that, it's like, gosh, he only shot two under. You know, it could have been one of those days where he may have taken a little bit more advantage. But the shot I keep coming back to is the second shot he hit at 14. The pin cut right over top of that false front. And it's such a challenging shot. Mm-hmm. The only way you can get there with firm greens is this high slice. And he hits this thing into the moon. But he started at the left center of the green. And remember, the pin's all the way on the right, which is 30 yards right of where he started it. Just hits this high slice wedge. It was the coolest thing ever. And if I try so to do good. That, I'm just thinking, like, how fat I'd hit that shot. You know, like, just the idea sounds great in my head.
It's Scotty Scheffler, the essence of everything he does, even though it looks so home cooked, is like the ability to concoct that shot and then have, like, mechanically to execute that.
It's
matching of those two things is so wild to me.
It's like he had his fingernails on the edge of the golf club, just doing whatever he wanted with it.
That's so good. Yeah, it's funny in talking about the guys that are further down the board. So Rory and Sam Burns tied for the lead, but then you got J-Day and Patrick Reed tied for third. Shane Lowry, Justin Rose, Xander Schauffele, Scotty Scheffler tied for sixth. Gary Woodland tied for 10th alongside Tommy Fleetwood. Like, there are some, I mean, it's early, but there are some names here that are in the hunt that if this group plays well again tomorrow, we're going to have a nice little leaderboard heading into the weekend.
I think so. The only outlier is Kitayama. You know, I've been high on his game entering this year. But
gained three strokes putting today. How about that?
He did, but he had maybe one of the worst shots of the day, left of the green at 12. It was just this simple shot. Everybody was grabbing putter. And if you grabbed a wedge, it's because the lie wasn't great, but I'll just kind of bump like a gap wedge into the hill in a pretty easy pitch.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Kitayama gets the 60-degree out, opens the face, and is trying to hit a low spinner in there. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And what does he do? He foreheads it and runs it into Ray's Creek. And I was like, what? And he ends up still shooting three under. So he wasted some shots today, really at Amen Corner. But outside of that, he was putting on a dart fest. He had four shots that he had stuffed in the first 10 holes. Now he's going to be playing early afternoon tomorrow. So we'll see if he's, you know, if the golf course firms up a little on him. But he's a very good ball striker. I don't know if the putter can hang in there for him or the short game, but he certainly can hang in there off the tee and in the iron game.
Yeah, gained five strokes in approach. I mean, his wild round. Lost his minus 2.4 strokes around the green, but gained three putting, gained five in approach. So we'll see how those numbers kind of balance. This is obviously a small sample size, but just interesting to track these guys' rounds. Okay, first-timer quotes. First of all, friend of the show, Ryan Gerard. These are actually both friends of the show. They asked him what it was like teeing off on the first in his first competitive round at the Masters, and he said, "Dude, I was so much more nervous than I thought I was going to be. I was like, oh, it's not that bad. I've played majors before. This isn't too crazy. I probably got to the tee a little bit earlier than I should have because then I was waiting for a while. Now I'm sitting around like, okay, wait. Keegan blew it way right, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. Then I just smother hooked it in the left tree, so I'm glad I didn't take it off someone's forehead early on in the round. Yeah, it was definitely more nerve-wracking. Probably the fastest club speed I'll hit all year on the first tee there."
Ryan Gerard's a gem, man. He keeps delivering. I did not have on my bingo card Ryan Gerard almost leading the Masters the first day in putting. Like, this man has changed putters 42 times over the last 42 days. And he comes out here and just goes hoop sauce on us.
We love that. We love that a lot.
The living room setup. The living room putting mat setup.
Yeah. Got to get three of those. Build for it. Get them a fourth. And then Mason Howe on the similar topic. We talked on the show to Mason about Rory McIlroy at the 2016 Tour Championship, throwing him a golf ball in the fourth hole that he kept. And he's told us he was going to give it to Rory on the first tee today as they played together. And he said, "I followed through on that. Rory is awesome. We had a great walk today. Yeah, that kept things light on the first tee. Also kept things light that I hit it in nine fairway off the first tee."
Also, this guy's hat cannot stay on his head.
They asked him about that as well. They said, are you going to change hats? He said, probably just going to just take him one notch tighter.
Gosh. Like your adrenaline isn't pumping enough. Now you got veins popping out of your forehead.
You got no circulation to your brain. That's the recipe. Yeah. So good on Ryan and Mason for making some light of the first time out there at the Masters. Lots of fun to be had for that crew. That's it. That's all we have for the Thursday Journal. We're back here on Friday, recapping all the action, seeing who made the cut, who missed the cut. Any final thoughts for the people on the way out, SK?
Let's go with 7-under leading tomorrow.
7-under leading, and what do you like for a cut line?
6-over.
6-over and 7-under. Wow. I'll go 6-under leader, and I'll go 4-over cut line.
Would that add up if it was 7-under? It'd be 10 shots of the lead would be...
10 shots of the lead would be...
Oh, three.
3-under. 3-over.
Oh, so it would... 3-over would be the cut.
3-over would be the cut if you have 7-under lead.
No. Not a math pod.
But if top 50 is greater than 10 shots, it's whichever is more players, correct?
Yeah.
Top 50 or... Oh, so, yeah. So top... It'd be, so it could be 6-over. Over. It could be 6-over.
That's right.
We're still not a math pod. IP Science Pod or still not a math pod.
Somewhat of a geography pod.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of that. Yeah. That's all. We appreciate y'all watching, listening, hanging with us. Come right back here tomorrow. We'll be recapping the second round of the Masters Tournament. Talk to you then.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings. Cultural sites to open your mind. And dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.